From St. Anthony Parish, Alston, Massachusetts.
It's important to understand that when Paul wrote any of his letters, he never wrote in chapters. These were added centuries later when they were putting the canon of the Bible together. So he never wrote chapter 1 one day and then chapter 2 the next, etc. Therefore, when you read any of his letters, or for that matter, any of the letters in the New Testament, you can read each one as a whole, just as you would the letters of anyone else. Father Paulo Ricardo Acevedo Jr., who is the Fulton Sheen of Brazil, recently gave a talk to Canção Nova in Brazil, powerfully teaching about the chapters before and after the one that you have just heard as the second reading today. And I'll draw extensively on those talks in this homily. If there are any three chapters that are most misunderstood in Paul's letters, they are actually 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. And I believe two chapters, 12 and 14, actually scare people in the United States, in the Church of the United States, including in our hierarchy. They don't scare people in some other countries, such as Brazil or India or some of the African countries, but in the United States, they do. They make people uneasy, including the bishops, and it's unnecessary. These are the chapters that deal with the charisms and the theological virtues. The charisms we see most recently in what is called the charismatic renewal, which also makes people uneasy. Many people in our church in this country, including the hierarchy, and for that reason, it's greatly misunderstood. And because it is misunderstood, our leaders have not provided much leadership for it. Father Paulo Ricardo teaches that you need to understand, however, chapters 12 and 14 in order to understand our second reading today. You see, I'm sure you've heard of the charismatic gifts and the movement. What is most famous, I'm sure you've heard, is what is known as the gift of tongues, in which people pray to God in a language they do not understand, nor can control except for turning it on and off. In a culture where people get offended by someone who speaks another language in front of them, obviously the concept of people speaking a language without understanding it scares them. But these charisms are explained throughout the history of the church, including in the Catechism of Trent and the Catechism of the Catholic Church, written after Vatican II. They are bestowed on people by the Holy Spirit and are there to help build up the church. By the way, the charisms give absolutely no indication of the holiness of those who possess them, none. Pope St. John Paul II also says that those who possess them must not take them as an indication of any form of authority in the church and must submit to those in the church appointed for discerning their authenticity and usefulness. Chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians teaches the priority of the gifts from most important, which is prophecy, to least important, which is tongues. However, all are there to help the faithful build up the church and her people. Paul calls all people to seek eagerly these charisms, which we must remember are bestowed on the people by the will and pleasure of the Holy Spirit. You cannot earn them, you cannot study for them, you can only ask for them. The list is in 1 Corinthians 12, and it is not an exhausted list. For example, both St. Pio of Petroclina, also known as Padre Pio, and St. John Vianney both had the charisms of reading souls. So if someone confessed to them a sin or their sins, but decided not to tell them everything, no, I don't want to tell them that sin, they would actually know it, and they would tell the person, you're missing a sin, you need to confess it. That was one of the charisms they possessed. What does this all have to do with the chapter in the middle, which we have just heard as our second reading? Everything. And this is what Father Paulo Ricardo Acevedo teaches. Remember, there were no chapters in the original document, so that whole section is a continuation of thought. If we must understand that the charisms come from God and they cannot be received outside of the action of the Holy Spirit, then the same has to be said of the theological virtues, which are faith, hope, and charity, and which he writes about in chapter 13, which we just heard. They too are bestowed on us through the action of the Holy Spirit, but in this case, we grow in them in cooperation with the Holy Spirit. So we pray for them, and we pray that we may grow in faith, hope, and love. Nothing is more important than these virtues, especially love. Nothing. And that is because in the end there is nothing but love, because God is love. Everything else we do for the Lord, whether it is natural or supernatural, if it is not done in the light of the theological virtues of love, at best is a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. The best example of this is the so-called Catholic experts we see on the internet. Some of them on the right, and some of them are on the left, and some of them are the nastiest communicators on the planet. They may also be correct, but they speak without love and are nothing but noisy gongs at best. If my preaching is fascinating, and it's a fascinating bunch of facts, but is not done in prayer and in cooperation with the Holy Spirit and in light of the theological virtues, it may impress you, but it is still nothing more than a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. In fact, Pope Benedict XV in 1917 wrote, "But the grace of God is not gained by study and practice. It is won by prayer. Therefore, he who is little given to prayer or neglects it altogether vainly spends his time and labor in preaching, for in God's sight his sermons profit neither himself nor those who hear them." Therefore, it is essential that we understand that it is our duty as Catholics to pursue the graces through a deep prayer life so that we may love to the level to which Christ calls. That love can only be found when we recognize that is our most urgent command. Nothing is as important, and by pursuing those virtues, we come to be, as the end of the reading indicates, more able to see and know God, for we will be more like him, for God is love. That means, by the way, that the most difficult people to love in your life are those whom God uses to help you to love, because if you can love them, you can love anyone, and our mandate is to love to that level.